hungry this morning. Praise God. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you're usually hungry, right? You go to a restaurant. Well, you know, church is like a spiritual restaurant. Amen. And it's wonderful to be here with God's people today. It's wonderful to be here to celebrate Jesus and to watch God do a work on the inside of us. Whether you realize it or not, maybe you're newer to this, God's presence is in this room right now. I mean, He is here in this room right now. And He's here to help you. He's here to give you exactly what you need. I tell you, I can't even keep track of how many times I've been in church services and meetings through the years that I got my answer there. Well, I wasn't hungry. I was like, God, I need some answers here, you know. And a lot of times it was just a confirmation or revelation, wisdom that I needed. Praise God. I trust that's what's going to take place here today. Amen. Amen. We've been talking about this subject here up on the screen. You can see called Walking with God. I believe we're going to complete this next Sunday if that's what the Lord wants us to do. But we've been talking about this particular subject of walking with the Lord. And I guess a little subtitle for that would be the smartest decision that you will ever make. Amen. Now, I didn't come up with that. My son did. Amen. I was talking to him about that. And he said, that sounds good. That's the smartest choice that you'll ever make. You know, you got to make a lot of choices in this life, don't you? There's some minor decisions, but there's a lot of major decisions that will affect and impact your life. And the great thing is we don't have to go through this life void of God's wisdom. We can have His wisdom. And when you have His wisdom, you always make the right choices. Yeah. Amen? And so in 1 Corinthians 1:9, the Bible says this. We'll kind of use this as like a springboard and jump into the rest of the message today. It says that God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we notice the phrase that God is faithful, by whom you were called. Did you know every one of us have a call on our lives? No, so I know in the circles that I grew up in back in the 70s, you know, people talked about, I feel a call to the ministry. Amen? And sometimes that we give the wrong impression when we talk about that. I was talking with a guy this week, you know, and he doesn't feel called to a pulpit ministry, but he does some other stuff to help people. I said, one of the biggest lies the devil has sown into people's minds is that only some people are called to the ministry, when in fact, all of us have a ministry. All of us have a ministry. Do you know God calls some people? I shared a little bit about this on Friday evening with the people there. But God calls people into various aspects of life. Amen? God calls some people to be teachers. God calls some people to work in finance. God calls some people to work in transportation and medical field and things. I mean, the gamut is wide and deep. Amen? And God wants His people to be in every aspect of life. Amen? Now, I know that we have over in this section here, we have a couple of teachers, amen, that teach kids, right? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. Anybody over here? Okay. Do you know, that is a powerful thing. That is a powerful thing. Amen? They get to spend hours every day with these kids and impart to them not only earthly wisdom and knowledge, but their spirits as well. Amen? So in other words, they're going to reach people that I will never reach. Now, how many of you remember growing up your first and second, third grade teacher? Remember that? You know, you're really impressionable at that age, aren't you? You're very impressionable. And I want to give... I don't even know what the word to use is that the help me, Lord, the credence of these particular jobs. I mean, these are ministries. Amen. And so we should never demean or look down on what we're called to do, because if everybody was called to the pulpit ministry, how would we affect the people out there? I mean, it just wouldn't happen. Just wouldn't happen. Now, I remember a time when I was, even while I was in the ministry, that I drove a school bus for about 10 years, okay? And, but, you know, I learned a lot. I see a lot of times people think that your only training for the ministry is like going to Bible school. Now, don't get me wrong, that's part of it, that's important. But you know, I learned a lot about kids and teenagers. I mean, everywhere from first grade, kindergarten, all the way up through senior high. I learned a lot about kids just by working with them. And also fellow workers learning how to deal with difficult people. Because there are some real difficult people that I had to work with. Amen? And I was privileged to see some of them come to the Lord. Not all of them, but some of them come to the Lord during that process of planting seed with them, seeing them on a regular basis, you know. But the thing is, we can learn every single day of our lives. We can learn how to minister to people and bless people, you know. I look at Brother Dooner back there. You know, he's got a shop, a tattoo shop. Praise God. Amen. And he's gonna reach people that I'll never reach. And he has already. Amen. And will continue to. Amen. Because he's got a voice in their lives. I mean, if this white boy goes in there and I don't have any tattoos on me, I'm only going to reach so many of those people. You know what I'm saying? But he's going to reach people that I'll never reach. So I think it's important that we renew our minds to these things, because what you're doing is vitally important. What you're doing is really important. And it's so important to understand that. Amen. And to have a healthy view and self-esteem of who you are and what God has called you to do. Amen. So many times people look down on what they're doing in life, but actually it's really important. Praise God. But see, the first and primary calling that we have is the call to fellowship with God. Now, we brought out the fact, and I'm just reviewing right now, that the word fellowship is the Greek word koinonia. And basically what that means is a call to intimacy. Okay? Intimacy with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. That's what the word koinonia is. And as we have fellowship with the Lord, so we can have fellowship with one another. You know, Friday night was a beautiful example that when we came together down here, there was a tremendous presence. I mean, it started out a little bit slow, but then got the rusty gears out of the way. And I mean to tell you, people began to share and pour out of their heart, you know, and it was a healthy environment. That was koinonia. Amen? It built us up. And so our first and primary call is our call to fellowship with God. Now, here's what I'm just going to review very quickly. So just stay with me. Josh, get rid of those scriptures, bring them up here. But what does it mean to walk with God? Number one, walking with God is something that we do by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. That's how we walk with the Lord, because you can't see Him with your physical eyes, but you can communicate with Him, you can talk with Him. Has anybody here ever had a conversation with somebody on the telephone? Well, of course you have. That's a dumb question. Of course you have. And they might be on the other side of the globe. They might be on the other side of the United States. They might be miles away, but you can hear them. Now, when my wife calls me, you know, now forget the caller ID thing if I didn't hear, I've become familiar with her voice. So when she calls and I pick up, I don't have to say, "Who am I talking to?" if I didn't see caller ID. As soon as she says the first word, I know it's her. Because I've become, because of spending time with her, I've become familiar with her voice and likewise. Okay? And when you spend time with God, you spend time with Him, you become familiar with His voice. Jesus said, "My sheep, they hear my voice." Everybody say, "Bah." Just teasing. My sheep, it's an allegory, it's an illustration. My sheep hear my voice. You know, I saw a video that was kind of interesting along this line. There, over in the Mideast, you know, to this day, you still have the Bedouins, I think you call them. You know, I guess they carry their beds around or something. I don't know. But anyway, these are primitive people. You would think that they're living, you know, 4,000 years ago. They got the camels and the little tents and all this kind of stuff. And they're living out in the backside of the desert, you know. But a lot of these people are still actual shepherds. Okay, and that goes back to biblical times, back to the times of Moses, where Moses was a shepherd to Jethro, his father-in-law. Remember that? And it's interesting because I saw this video, and the sheep will only respond to the shepherd's voice, okay? Because those sheep are attentive, and they're inclined to hear the call and the tone and the voice of that particular shepherd, and they won't respond to anybody else. And I saw this, you can look it up on YouTube. It was a live example of this, you know, to prove out this scripture. And they had some kids and some people come over and yell at the sheep. There's a bunch of sheep out there grazing and stuff like that. And they made all this noise and racket. You know, I might have played that once here in the service. I think I did. But those sheep just kept grazing. They didn't respond, you know, and they're yelling at the sheep, making all kind of noises, trying to get them to come over, to lure them over, you know. Then all of a sudden, after about five or six people doing that, here comes the shepherd. He steps up and he makes this particular noise, you know, and this call. And all of a sudden, every sheep in that pasture, I saw at least 30, lifted their heads and they ran towards the gate where that shepherd was. And everybody else was yelling and screaming and all self-effort, but the sheep did not respond to those other people. And that's what Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And we're not going to listen to the stranger. You know who the stranger is? Devils and demons. Amen?
Yeah.
See, I'm not going to listen to the voice of discouragement. Do you know where discouragement comes from? From the enemy. And the primary way that the enemy speaks to you and to me, he speaks to all of us, is through thoughts and imaginations. Thoughts and imaginations. That's how he doesn't come and audibly speak in your ear. I've never heard that yet. But you do get thoughts of discouragement, despondency. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Fear, worry are voices of the enemy. You're not going to make it. You're going to lose out. You're going to do without. You're going to die. All these different lies that the devil says to you. Those are all lies. Amen? Because when the devil speaks, you know what he does? He brings fear. Anytime Satan comes, and a worry is more of a subtle side, but it's still fear. And you worry about the future. Oh, what's the future hold? Let me tell you something. When you walk with God and you spend time with him, you don't have to figure out your future. God's going to work it out. Amen? You can just kick back and relax and enjoy life. And just know that your steps are ordered of God. He's going to put you on the right path. You will be at the right place at the right time. That's something I say, try to say on a regular basis. By faith, I say, I'm always at the right place at the right time. And it just so happens that there's a whole lot more coincidences, I don't believe in that, that seem to come up when you have that mindset. The Bible says God in Psalm 5:12, and it says God will surround us with favor as if a shield and encompass us round about. And all of us from time to time, we need favor, the favor of God. And you know, that belongs to every single person here. And it's there for the taking. We just have to take it, claim it, believe it, take it. Glory to God. Father, I claim favor today in Jesus' name. Amen. One day, about 2 years ago, I was driving in my car to meet with somebody, and I was driving up Interstate 79 right over here, and I was going north. And I was right at the intersection where the park, where 376 and 79 are. You know what I'm talking about, right down here, that big intersection right there. You know, all the loops. Amen. And the Holy Spirit spoke something to my heart. Now, I didn't hear him with these ears here, but I heard him inside me. And the Lord said this to me. He says, will you do something for me? I said, sure. Now, I didn't know what he was going to say. Now, the more you spend time with someone, the more familiar you become with their voice. Can you all agree on that? You just know their voice. Amen? Praise the Lord. If I stood out in the hallway and I was hidden from everybody and you walked in and I heard you talk, I would know exactly who that is. I know every one of your, pretty much all your voices in here. Amen? I said, oh, that's so-and-so. Amen? Hallelujah. And the Lord said this. He says, will you do something for me? And I was ready to do a task, okay? And here's what he said to me. And it kind of like really shocked me, kind of surprised me, to be honest with you. And he said this. He says, will you give me permission to bless you every day? I said, I just kind of went, what? Will you give me permission to bless you every day? And I said, yeah. I said, well, how do I do that? See, I'm koinonia, fellowship, intimacy. I'm talking with the Lord about it. He said, well, Keith, it's like this. He says, when I put man into the earth, man has authority in the earth. Amen? The Bible says the heavens belong to the Lord, but to the earth belongs to the children of men, to the children of God. It belongs to us. He said, so all your blessings are down here on the earth. They're not in heaven, they're on the earth. He says, but you have authority, like Adam had authority, and he turned his authority over to Satan, and that's why all this mess has happened in the earth. Okay? He says, but if you ask me to bless you and give you permission to bless you, he says, then that will open up the doorway for things to happen in your life that wouldn't otherwise. Praise God. And I felt, and now that was not in my notes, but I felt impressed at this point by the Holy Spirit to share that information there, because this pertains to not only myself, but it pertains to everybody in this room. Amen. I want to be a blessing. I want to be blessed so I can be a blessing. Amen. Now, I love blessing people. And I don't mean just monetarily, but I mean in every way. If I can bless somebody, my goodness. If I can make someone's life better, oh, that makes my day. My goal is to make someone's life. My goal, you know what my goal is today? You want to know? Is to make your life better than when you first came in here. And I pray that happens. To make your life better. To walk out of here smarter with more wisdom and more spiritual energy and hope in your mind about your future. See, the enemy's painted a dark picture in some of your minds about your future. And I'm going to pull that thing down today in the name of Jesus, because let me tell you, God has a great future for you. It's a beautiful future for you. And the stuff you're going through right now is going to seem so pale in comparison to the glory that's going to be revealed in the future. Amen. Let me tell you something. Anytime you make a choice to do the right thing, there's going to be this thought that's going to come back to you, say, I hope I made the right choice. Because you're going to feel an initial so-called loss. You're going to feel pressure. Are you with me? When you do something right, there's going to be this prevailing thought that's going to say, are you sure you made the right choice? Are you sure you made the right decision? Yes. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. And so, as much as I haven't done it every single day, but when I think of it, I'll say, now, Father, today. Good thing to do it is in the morning, because you got the rest of the day in front of you. And I say, Father, I give you permission today to step in and to bless me, my wife, my kids, my dog, my cat. That's right. Almost left the last one out. No. Amen. I don't have to worry about that, because if I miss that one, she'll take care of it. Oh, isn't it good to have fun in church sometimes? Amen. I'm just a dog person, okay? That's all there is to it, you know? Amen. Anyway, what was I talking? Well, the Lord said, I give you permission. Give me the permission every day. And I'll tell you, I've been so blessed to see things. Now, sometimes it's not real big, huge things that happen, but, you know, hey, if a prayer is answered, a prayer is answered. I mean, I look for every opportunity for encouragement. You know, you would lift yourself today, would do yourself a good favor today if you would just look at what good has happened in your life instead of what you don't have. Instead of looking at what you don't have or what hasn't happened in your life, what about what you do have? And I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of things that God has already done for you. If you just, it would change your whole perspective. It'd change your whole mindset if you just looked and say, oh, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Praise God. Amen. And I mean, he'll be quick to show you. Praise God. My iPad just turned off here. Let me go back here. There we go. I didn't. It might have, but I didn't turn off. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so what does it mean to walk with God? We do it by faith. Praise God. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, I wrote in my Bible here, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, and I wrote here, while on earth, that's us. We must believe that he first is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Let's say that word, diligently seek him. All right? Nobody can be a diligent seeker of God. Nobody, no woman, man on this earth can be a diligent seeker of God unless they first believe that God is. Have to believe that God is. And that takes all the struggle out of your prayer life. When I believe that God is, I come before Him by faith, because I can't see Him with my eyes. Now, there will come a time when every eye will see Him, physically speaking. But right now, we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. God is with us. Like I said, you can have a conversation with someone you don't see. Why not God? Amen. Now, I brought out the fact that it's amazing how we're in Christ. We're in Him. Just like, you know, why is it so difficult to believe that God would live in a person? How many of you here have ever seen an expectant mother before? How many of you have ever been an expectant? No, I'm not going to raise my hand. You've been an expectant mom before, you know? I mean, you stop and think about it. You look at that person, there's another person inside them. Amen? Now, some on the left would not have you to believe that. Right. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about. But let me tell you something. There's a person inside that person. Are you with me now?
Yes.
And when you get born again, there's another person that moved on the inside of you. Jesus said, if you believe on me, He says, well, me will come and we'll make our abode on the inside. That means our home on the inside of you. Praise God. So what does it mean to walk with God? Walking with God is something we do by faith. Number two, what does it mean to walk with God? Number two, we talked about this last week, is involve God in every decision you make. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, and I'll just quote this quickly here. All right, it says, trust in the Lord with half your heart. No, it says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. That means you're this thing up here. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. In all your ways acknowledge God. He will direct your path. You say, well, how do you do that, Pastor Keith? I literally say this. I'll say, Father, I'm going to acknowledge you today. If I have a meeting, or if I'm meeting with somebody, or if I'm, you know, going about my business. I mean, it could be anything. Say, Father, I'll just say, I'm going to do what Proverbs 3:5 today. Say, I'm going to acknowledge you today. That's another way of saying, I'm going to get you involved in my life today. Praise God. Now, the third and final thing that I want to talk about today, this is so exciting, is how do we walk with God? And we just touched on the edge of this last week, but I want to complete this particular point here, this third point today. The third thing is, how do we walk with God? Is we practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. Now, I'm going to teach you how to do that today. That's what we're going to leave you with here today. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13 says, Paul says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only is in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Notice that phrase. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, Josh, bring that up on the NLT, and let's read this again. We're talking about practicing the presence of God. So the New Living says, dear friends, you have always followed my instructions when I was with you. Now, Paul's writing this. He says, and now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Now, here's the illustration that I saw on this. Paul said, he said, you obeyed me when I was with you. Okay? In other words, you did the Word of God. When I preached to you the Word, when I was with you, you did with the Word. He goes, but now I'm not with you. I'm somewhere else. He says, work out, do much more in my absence. Amen. Now we know that that Jesus Christ is Himself. He is in heaven, right? His Spirit is on the earth. This would apply to us right now. Is, you know, it's easy to work when the boss is around, right? When the boss is standing over there looming over you, looking at you. You know what I'm talking about? But when boss man's gone, he's away for a couple of days, it's easy to slack off, right? You know what I'm talking about. Well, Jesus may not be here physically, I'm telling you, but he's fully aware of what's going on. Amen? But while he's away, here's what we can do to practice the presence of God. Now, there's a guy named Brother Lawrence. I'm going to talk about Brother Lawrence here today. You say, who in the world is Brother Lawrence? Well, he was born in the 1600s. Everybody say that's a long time ago. And I'm going to read something about Brother Lawrence because he had a book that he wrote called Practicing the Presence of God. Now, Brother Lawrence was a monk, okay? And let me just read this is about him. He said, Brother Lawrence was a monk in France during the 1600s. He was assigned to the monastery kitchen where, amidst the tedious chores of cooking and cleaning and constant bidding of the superiors, he developed his rule of spirituality and work. Now listen to this. Brother Lawrence learned to retreat to a place in his heart and mind where the love of God made every detail of his life a surpassing value. He said, and I quote, I began to live as if there were no one except God and me in the world. Together, God and Brother Lawrence cooked meals, ran errands, scrubbed pots, and endured the scorn of the world. Brother Lawrence learned to practice the presence of God throughout the day. To live moment by moment, conscious of God's presence is the key to Christian living. This is the key to growing personal relationship with God in the midst of the busyness of life. Okay? And he gave six, and I'm going to go through these really quickly here today, six ways that he practiced the presence of God. Because let's face it, what he was doing, I remember one of the first jobs I had when I was about 11 or 12 years old, as I was a dishwasher in a country club. I started working actually when I was 11. I became a caddy at a golf course, okay? And man, I took some abuse back then, you know? Back then. Guy has a bad golf game, he throws his clubs at me and stuff like that. And I said, I'm thinking, man, I'm like 12 years old here, you know, and you're taking it out on me. But part of that responsibility was also doing dishes. And I mean, we're talking a country club here. It used to be Tower View Country Club. It doesn't exist anymore. Okay? And, that was not a very joyful job. I mean, you're talking hundreds of dishes and silverware and all this kind of stuff, you know. And, man, I just despised every time I walked in there. But, you know, I guess that wasn't my gift. But he took, yeah, it still wasn't. She is. Yeah. I trained her very well. I mean, you know. But he said, six ways that we can practice the presence of God. I'm just going to give these to you real quick here. And see, folks, this is what's going to turn us around. This will take the mundane out of every area of life and make it so exciting. Because, you know, there are things that you and I do in life that, you know, you go grocery shopping. That's not a real exciting thing, you know. You got to clean the house or do this or do that, take care of this, take care of that, maintain, you know. It's really not that much fun. But you can turn that thing into something spectacular when you involve God with it. Are you with me? Number one, here it is. Begin each day conscious of God. This is what Brother Lawrence said. Begin each day conscious with God. When you wake up in the morning, focus on God. Meditate on a song, a psalm, or another portion of scripture that will help you come before God in worship. There is power in worship. Now listen, you do not have to have a band, okay? You don't have to have a full orchestra. All you need is a voice, amen? And you just start up. Sometimes it's hard to get going in the morning sometimes. You just like, Father, I thank you today. Praise God. And you get those gears turning. And a lot of times, I know, for example, even this morning, I was getting ready and so forth, and the Lord reminded me of 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. You don't have to turn there. And he quickened it to me. And it says that, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And it says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And the fifth verse says, who is he that overcometh but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ? Amen. And while I'm getting ready at 6:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm speaking this over. I'm in the shower. I'm talking like, for I am born of God. I have been born of God, and the victory that overcomes the world is my faith. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. And when I started saying what the Word of God had to say, just one scripture, actually two verses, which were connected, that I'm born of God. I have world overcoming faith residing on the inside of me. I began to personalize that and say, I've got the victory. I'm born of God. I'm an overcomer. Now, sometimes when you say that, you don't feel like it. You feel like you're being overcome. You feel like you've been run over by a truck tire. You know what I'm saying? But when you start saying what the Word of God says, I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. The Word of God says I'm an overcomer. You're stirring up the gift of God on the inside of you right there first thing in the morning, and you're becoming more conscious of God. Boy, do we need that or what? You see, there's some people that are self-conscious. Amen? Always think about what other people think. But if you realize how much other people are thinking about you, it would set you free, because they're not. Amen? Let me give you an example. Have you ever had a picture taken with your family, like a group picture? You know, like a family reunion or something, or whatever, holiday, you know. And then all of a sudden the pictures come back, you know, and now it's all digital, you know. And you see this group picture. When you see that group picture, who are you looking for on there?
Yourself.
Need I say any more, right? We're not thinking about that person's hair's out of place or whatever, you know what I mean? So if we realize how often people are thinking about us, it would set us free, because they're really not, for the most part. Amen. Some people are self-conscious. Some people are just fact unconscious. But then we need to be God-conscious. God-conscious. And this is how we start, if we start our day up, by just taking, folks, this is so simple, a first grader could get this. You take just one scripture and you just meditate on that. How do you meditate on it? You take one scripture, you say it out loud, you think it through, how does that apply to me? You know? And when you meditate on that, it becomes a part of you. It's like digestion. You know, it's not what you eat that helps you. It's what you digest. You with me? And when you eat the Word of God, you meditate on the Word, it becomes a part of you. You digest the Word of God. So start out your day like that. Number two, meditate on a, and this would kind of go with what I just said, but meditate on a scripture or two. Speaking it out loud to yourself. Amen. So when you say, oh Lord, I thank you today that your presence is with me. If everybody in this room practiced what I'm saying right now, it would literally change your day. Mm-hmm. Instead of being conscious of your issues and your problems that you're trying to figure out yourself, if you just get up in the day and you forget about those things, you say, no, I'm not going to worry about my future. I'm not going to worry about this. I want to be God conscious. Father, I thank you today that you're with me. You said you would never leave me. You would never forsake me, even to the end of the world. So, praise the Lord. Here we go. It's Monday. Same thing on Tuesday. Same thing on Wednesday. And when you're doing that, you're becoming so God-conscious that you'll be a blessing without even realizing it. Because you're abiding in Him. He's abiding in you, and that presence of God in you. Amen. I mean, you know what's so awesome is when you're walking with God, the Bible says, if any man be joined to the Lord, he's one spirit with the Lord. Amen? Your spirit and the Holy Spirit are interconnected. Okay? Let me grab one of these glasses. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Here is an empty glass, right? Here's a glass with water. All right? So here's the Holy Spirit right here. Here's me. There's nothing in it. Okay? So now God pours into me. Now I've got something in me. Okay? Now I pour back into God. God pours back into me. I pour back into God. This is that daily thing. Now He pours back into me. Can you now separate these two now? No, you can't. You can't separate them now because they're together. If any man be joined to the Lord, he's one spirit. Your spirit is so connected to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the flow of the Spirit, when you flow with him, it almost seems like it's just you. Because the Holy Spirit's put in the thought in your mind to do something or whatever. Amen. See, we miss God sometimes because we think the only way he can speak to us is spectacularly. Like, whoa, did you hear that? This big voice came out of heaven. Well, most of us haven't heard that. Okay? But you have heard the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Every one of you in this room, you're hearing it today. The still small voice. Impression God puts in you. Peaceful impression that he puts on the inside of you. Now, that may not be spectacular, but let me tell you something. It is supernatural. Amen? And I'm telling you, you can just have confidence just going about your business. I mean, you might be on a public transportation somewhere, you know, and you just feel compelled to encourage someone or to reach out and be kind to somebody, okay? Why would that not be God? Instead of, we think the only way God can speak is you see a guy in a wheelchair and the Holy Ghost says, go raise him up out of the wheelchair. And we all like that, don't we? Rise in Jesus' name. Well, why would God tell us to tell someone to get out of a wheelchair if we're not even used to listening to him in the small areas? You see, as we develop the inward witness, as we develop those small, seemingly small things in obedience to the Lord, then it will be easier to listen to him when he tells us to do something big. Amen? But it's those daily things when God tells us to do something. You know, God puts it on your heart. Call that person. Encourage them. They need encouragement right now. Okay? Does that make sense? Amen? Praise God. Now, Luann, I see Luann sitting here. I was just talking to somebody in the church, and they said Luann just called them. Amen? In fact, it was my mother. Okay? My mother told me this. She said, yeah, Luann, she gave my mom a call, or my mother a call, and my mother told me about it. She said, that really blessed me. She goes, man, I was feeling sort of down that day, you know, and so forth. Here, Luann made a phone call to my mom, okay, because she used to come to the church, her and my dad, remember? And, that may not seem spectacular, like fireworks going off, but it was supernatural. Because she thought of it enough to tell me just the other day, said that really ministered to me. Amen. Okay? So I'm sharing that with you to let not only Luann know that was God that put that on the inside of her heart. Amen? That's supernatural, isn't it? Amen. See, it's obeying God, and even though small, might seemingly small, there's no small thing to God. You know, the same God that created the stars and the planets and the mountains is the same God that created your individual cell in your body. Let me tell you something. If any one of your cells need to line up with the Word of God, God's God over the cells as well as over the mountains. And if a cell in your body needs to change, that's a word today. If some cells or cell in your body needs to change, God is not only the God of the mountain, he's the God of the cells, of what your eye physically cannot see. He's just as small as he is big. Who created our bodies? My dad and my mom. No. We're not that smart. Praise God. How much time we got here? My goodness. Okay. The second point is read God's word. Meditate on God's word. Go to Joshua chapter 1. This is my son's book. Joshua chapter 1. Now, it's interesting because when Joshua, you know, who was his leader? Moses, right? And he was with Moses. That's where he got all his training and his years of experience, being the servant of Moses, okay? Now, Moses he lived 120 years, okay? 120 years. Now the time has come where the Lord says, now it's time for you to come into my promised land, Moses. Okay? Now he didn't enter into the physical land of the promised land, but he entered into heaven. Praise the Lord. That's even better. Amen? And so long story short, God now calls Joshua to now be the next leader of Israel. Now, who would not feel a little bit inferior taking over Moses' spot? Amen? Now, that would be like the president, current president, asking me now to step in and become the president. I would fall flat on my face because that's not what I'm called to do. That's not my gift. That's not my anointing. But there are those that are anointed to do that. Amen? And Joshua felt inferior, insecure about this, you know. I thought, my God, how am I going to fill his shoes? All right? And the Lord he kept telling Joshua, if you read Joshua chapter 1, we're not going to take the time to do it, but he kept telling him, he says, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. He kept telling him that. Don't be afraid, be encouraged, don't be afraid, don't let fear in. And he said, here's the key. Joshua was given by God the master key that would guarantee him to be a success while he was taking over Moses' position. And here's the secret. Now, it's not of any private interpretation because it's written down in the Word of God for you and for me. Are you ready? Verse 6, Joshua 1:6 says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Here it is again. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, or we would say the word, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever you go. Now, here is verse 8 is the key to success for not only Moses, but for you and for me. See, the Lord could have just pulled Joshua aside and said, come here, I want to tell you something. Come here. And nobody else would have heard it. But he gave it out loud, and it became scripture. This book of the law, verse 8. Now, we would say this word of God. Now, they had the law. The law, the Pentateuch, was the first five books of the Old Testament. Okay, they had the law. We would say word. This book of the law, verse 8. Or this word of God shall not depart from out of your mouth. Notice the word of God was not to depart out of their mouth. Didn't say their heart, their mouth. Well, Romans says, well, what saith that the word of God is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart? It starts with your mouth and it drops down into your heart, not in your heart first. But he says right here, this word of God shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day, night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And that's all kind of King James there, thou shalt and all this kind of stuff. But basically what he's saying is if you meditate on the word of God, you put that word in you and you meditate it, you speak it out, you mutter it, ponder on it, think about it, speak it out loud. He says, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Amen. So, if we do the same principle, and like I said, this is not of any private interpretation here. Amen. No matter what you're called to do in this life, you can be better and more anointed at what you're called to be. Amen. See, I remember back many, many years ago, I had the Holy Spirit, again, Koinonia, fellowship. He talked to me. He said, son, I don't want you to be a good husband. I don't want you to be a good father, because we just had our first kid. He says, I don't want you to be a good pastor. And I'm thinking, where's this going? He says, no, I want you to be an anointed husband, an anointed father, and an anointed pastor. Because what's the anointing? That's the Holy Spirit. Yoke destroying, burden removing, power of God. And suddenly I began to realize that there's an anointing to be a husband to my wife. Amen. Now sometimes I have to remind myself of that. Hey, you're anointed to do this. You got the goods, buddy. Amen. Sometimes we feel a little bit, all of us, in every aspect, we feel a little bit like we're coming short. Sometimes I feel like, am I being a good dad? But listen, God doesn't want me to be a good husband, a good dad, a good pastor. Nice little pastor. I want to be anointed. Because Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. Amen? And I'm telling you, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we can walk in that anointing in every aspect of life that we're called to do. Hallelujah. You're going over to visit Granny or somebody that's in the nursing home or something. You know, you need the anointing. Don't just go over there in your own strength. But go there in the anointing. Hallelujah. You're going on your job. You have a meeting or something. Go in the anointing. It'll work a whole lot better. So, read God's word or meditate on God's word. Number three is pray. Talk to the Lord every day about everything. Talk to the Lord. I wrote down here, talk to the Lord about everything and expect Him to talk to you by His Spirit and by His Word. Amen. Folks, let me tell you something. This is not boring. Amen. If it's boring, we're not doing it right. You hear that? If we're bored, we're not doing it right. But if we're doing it right with life-giving power behind it, it's so much more powerful. Praise God. We do things purposely under His unction, under His power. Talk to God. You know, prayer, like I said before, is not a monologue where it's just a one-way, one-sided conversation. Prayer is a dialogue. I talk to the Lord, He talks back to me. I talk to the Lord, He talks back to me. And that can literally go on throughout your day. Amen. You know, this is kind of a funny thing, but I've actually been in conversations with people many, 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 many times. I'll be there talking with a person, whatever, you know, and I'm hearing their voice, they're hearing my voice, we're having a conversation. But all of a sudden, I hear God's voice inside me. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, I'm realizing, wait a minute, this is not just a two-way conversation here. I'm hearing God on the other side here. And I hear what God's saying to help that person right there. I remember one time, oh my goodness, I was many, many years ago, I was counseling a couple that had terrible marriage problems. I mean, they were getting ready to get divorced, okay? And I was an assistant pastor at that time, actually. And this couple come in, and I mean to tell you, it didn't even look like the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost could help them. It was so bad. It was just terrible, you know? They almost got in a physical argument in my office while I'm talking with them. You know, it just didn't start out very good. And so, make a long story short, I just called a halt for a second. I said, wait a minute, I'm sitting behind my desk, you know, they're in these two chairs out there, and I said, you know what? I apologize. Forgive me right now. I said, we should have opened this up with prayer right now. So they bowed their heads, you know. And, you know, they weren't holding hands, but they bowed their heads. And I prayed. And I just waited for a minute. I said, Father, I said, we need your wisdom in this situation right now. I call upon your wisdom right now in Jesus' name. And I prayed something like that, you know. And so here they go at it again. They started... One was saying how bad they were at this, and the other one said how bad they were at this, you know, and bringing up all their bad points. The wife was complaining about the husband was complaining about the wife, and bam, they're just butting heads right there in my office like this. And I'm telling you what, it was intense, okay? It was intense. So I kind of felt helpless there for a few minutes there. I was like, as a pastor, I'm sitting there, what do I do with this? Do I blow a whistle like the referee? You know, what do I do here? You know? Now, God is my witness. They started back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I said, whoa, wait a second. Let me just interrupt here. You know, respectfully interrupt here. And I said, I want you to do something. I want you to do something right now. So they at least obeyed what I had in my heart to do. And I said, now, what was it about each of you that attracted you to that person in the beginning before you walked down the aisle and you got hitched? Okay? What was it? Tell me. Now, they were reluctant to do it, but then they started to do it, you know, and all of a sudden I saw a little bit of a change, a shift in the environment, the atmosphere. They began to smile a little bit more. Not a lot, but a little bit. So we're making progress here. And to make a long story real short here, I condensed it and I said, here's what I want to say to you, is if you just focus on what the other person didn't do for you, I said, you're up a creek without a paddle. Okay? You've already lost the battle. But I said, if you can find good points, I don't care if it's one thing, if you can find one thing good about your spouse, your husband, or your wife, I want you to amplify that. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Remember that song years ago? Okay? There's a whole story behind that song too. And so they agreed at least to do that. And to be honest with you, I didn't have a whole lot of hope that they were even going to do that. It just didn't seem like it. Okay? So we scheduled another appointment. They came back a week or two later, I think it was, you know, and it seemed a little bit better. It got a little bit better. They said, yeah, we've been practicing that. Yeah, we're starting. We still have some issues, but we're working it out and so forth, you know. And then a month went by, and I see this couple in the hallway of this church walking down the hallway holding hands before church, you know, showing affection to one another. And then I got goosebumps when I talk about it. I really do. It so humbled me. And within a month or two, they came back to me. In fact, it wasn't a meeting, but they saw me in the hallway, and they said, Pastor Keith, I'll never forget what you shared with us. He says, now we're back together. We're not separated now. We're back together. And, man, I'll tell you, God is just doing something in our marriage, you know. And I walked away, and I thought, glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? See, at least they came to the right place for help. You know, a lot of people go to the wrong place for help. Amen?
Well, Pastor, I think I'll go down to that palm reader.
You know? Tarot cards. You want to open yourself up for demons and evil spirits? That's the way to do it. Because that's the occult powers, okay? And they're not going to help you. Amen? But if you turn to the Lord, they turned at least to what we represented God in the church, right? Okay? I felt so empty. But remember the illustration about the water? It's not just me sitting here. Amen. Amen. It's just not Brother Keith sitting there in that chair looking real important. No, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than that. It has to be an inflow of God in my spirit that can only... See, in myself, I can't help a single person. Within me, I can't help anybody. But the God that lives on the inside of me can help people supernaturally. Hallelujah. And their marriage got restored. But it was by the anointing. It wasn't by my wisdom or something that I could say, fancy this, get their attention. It had to be the wisdom of God. Because frankly, I did not know what to say. Are you with me now? Can I tell you one other story that happened to me? Is that all right? Okay. We're going to vote on it right now. I had just graduated from Bible school. Okay? And I came back to my home church where I felt like God said, I want you to go back and serve the pastor there. This is in 1983. Okay? So I graduated from Bible school, came back to my home church in Pittsburgh, in the city of Pittsburgh, actually. And became the youth pastor and assistant pastor in this church, you know. And when I was in Bible school, I had a course. It was a class, actually. We had several classes. And this particular class was called for pastoral counseling, okay? And to be honest with you, I sat in that class. I was kind of bored, you know? Because they talked about unusual situations and unusual scenarios that you're going to have to counsel people, you know, and I kind of just tuned it out because I thought, I'll never have to deal with that kind of issue. And you know what I'm talking about here in a second. Okay? I kind of tuned it out. I said, I'll never have to deal with that, just to be honest with you. So, I'm on fresh, green, brand new on the job, okay? I mean, I'm just right out of the starting gate, you know, and the secretary of the church said, Keith, the pastor's going to be out of town here this particular day. Could you take this counseling appointment? And I was eager and I was ready, man. I was like, yeah, bring it on. I'm thinking that, okay? And I no more expected what happened to me than I expected to be the next astronaut landing on Mars. Okay? And so there was a woman that came up. Okay? Now, I had just ministered for the very first time in the church the night before. Okay? This was on a Wednesday. Okay? And I had ministered and the furnace broke. This church is in a theater even to this day. All right? And they didn't have any. It was in the middle of January. I remember that. Like now, and it was so cold in there. They had these blowers trying to heat the place up, you know, so people were shivering, you know. It was on a Wednesday night, and I was asked to preach, and I was so nervous that I was sweating crocodile tears, or if you want to call it that. I was so nervous, but I was so excited because I was preaching the Word of God for the first time in this congregation. And to my utter amazement and to my utter shock and surprise, when I did the altar call at the end, several people came forward and gave their heart to the Lord. And secondly, people that had sickness and disease came forward that needed healing. And I didn't know what they were dealing with. You never saw a guy pray so fast and so hard. In Jesus' name, you know. And so Thursday, the next day after I had ministered, and so here comes my counseling appointment, okay? And I remember the secretary said, it's going to be at this time, so be ready and so forth. And I had my my big high-back, leather-back chair and so forth in there in my office. I'm all my books stacked up, so I look professional at least. And so here comes the counseling appointment, you know. And I could hear this person walk through the door. Now, when I heard the voice, I thought it was a guy. But when I walked out, it was a girl. Now, you'll know where I'm going with this in a second. And so I didn't know anything. I didn't know this person from Adam. I didn't know them. So we came into the office, you know, kept the door propped open so the secretary could see what was going on there. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a woman in there. You know what I'm saying? And so she kept, and I noticed she's rather large. She's actually taller than I was. Her hands were bigger than mine. I thought, there's a pretty good-sized woman here, you know. Now, I'm talking about tapping into the wisdom of God and the anointing. And so to counsel someone, you have to find out, okay, what's your issue first? Are you right? What's the problem? Well, she kept hem-hawing around, being around the bush, you know, and 10 minutes went by, and I'm sitting there, and I said, with all due respect, ma'am, you're going to have to tell me, what are you dealing with here? What can we counsel you? What's the situation here? Okay? And I use this phrase. I said, just be totally frank with me. Just be blunt with me. What's going on? And she goes, well, 2 months ago, I had a sex change. And I don't know if she saw it or not, but I gripped my chair right there. You know, was a man, became a woman. Okay? And right away, I thought of that's what they talked about in that counseling class, and I didn't pay attention. Seriously. And then all of a sudden, no wonder she's so big and so big hands and kind of a gruff, deeper voice, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking she had the operation. Okay? Now, she didn't know it, but I grabbed my arm to my chair and I just kind of squeezed it. She didn't know it. He didn't know it. You know? Because I was like, God, what? My first counseling appointment. It's not like, I'm having troubles with my neighbor. Can you help me? Okay? The damage has been done. Parts have been changed. Okay? And so within myself, I'm hearing this person talk, but inside me, I'm like, God, I need your wisdom. Now, again, this is my very first counseling appointment. Number one, it was like God was laughing on his throne. Well, the secretary knew all about this, but she didn't tell me. Okay, so we're in the office there. I'm talking, and she said this. She goes, Pastor, she has kind of a gruff voice. She goes, I was in your service last night. And she goes, I just want you to know that I had probably 7 or 8, I think she said, tumors that were in my leg, blood clots, tumors and stuff like that because of the surgery and stuff like this. And she goes, I'm telling you, she goes, when you started preaching, then you laid hands, she says, every one of those things disappeared. Because I remember, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was that lady I prayed for. And I just prayed. I didn't ask her what it was. But I prayed in Jesus' name and so forth. And she goes, I was healed last night. Every one of those things disappeared. It disappeared. And I didn't know that till right then. And I thought, well, praise God. Surely it wasn't something on my part, you know. But here's what I thought, how am I supposed to, within myself, I'm like, Lord, how am I going to counsel this person? They need your help. They're coming to me for help. They're really coming to you, Lord, for help. And boy, I need some answers here, you know. And the Lord reminded me of something, and I'll close with this. He said, remember my word, son. He says, the man looks on the outward appearance, but I look on the heart. I said, yeah. I'm saying it within myself. He goes, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Okay? Secondly, there's neither male nor female in Christ. It says that. But faith which worketh by love. There's neither male nor female in Christ. Right? No gender in Christ. In Christ. Now in the natural, yeah, there is gender. Okay? You're either a male or a female. It's not in between. Okay? That's the way God created it. Praise the Lord. And so the Lord had me to minister because what they did in the flesh was already gone. I mean, that was done. All right. But that person had a spirit. That man had a spirit. He's really a man that thought he was a woman. Okay. And I was able to tap into the anointing in my spirit in this so-called severe case right here and look at them. I mean, think about the mercy of God. That here's a person that just had a sex change, comes to a church service on a Wednesday night in the inner city, has tumors up and down their legs, and every one of them disappear instantly. I didn't even know about that until the next day. I felt no special goosebump or anointing, if you want to call it that. I just did what I knew to do. Praise God. Sometimes you just do what you know to do, and God does the rest. He does the rest. Amen. So that lets you know you're not the healer. Takes all the pressure off me because I couldn't heal a fly's eyeball. Amen. But Jesus can. Jesus is here today. He's here today. And I was able, through the grace of God in that situation there, able to look at this person as precious in God's sight. In fact, that same night, I didn't tell you this, they received Christ. Somebody invited them to church off of the street in the inner city of Pittsburgh, invited them to church. They came in. He received Christ that night. Amen. And then God healed that person right then and there. And the Lord says, look at that person after the inward man. That person is a new creation in Christ Jesus. Address them like that. Hallelujah. So they were able to get plugged into the church, plugged into the Word of God, and things began to develop in this person's life. Amen. Hallelujah. So, but if I hadn't had the inner knowing in myself, that koinonia, fellowship with God, I would have been like, I think I chose the wrong thing here. I don't think I can handle this. I'm out of here. We've all felt like that at times. I can't handle this pressure. If you always run from pressure, you'll never grow. If you run from pressure, you will never grow. If you're trying to find an escape for your pain, you'll never grow. But if you face head on that situation that you're dealing with, work through that pain, work through that difficult situation, and at the same time, your roots are growing deeper, your spiritual roots are going deeper in Christ, and you're becoming more hardened to difficulties, you become stronger. Hallelujah. How many of you know you've grown some when you, things that normally a year or two ago that used to shake you and rattle you don't do that anymore? You know what I'm talking about? Why? Because your inner man is now stronger than it used to be. The scripture says that a strong spirit of a man will sustain him even in bodily weakness. When you have a strong spirit, your spirit man, that's the real you, when it becomes strong with God and with the Word of God, any physical infirmity that's out here can be overcome by a strong spirit. Praise the Lord.